Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here and Chad Markwitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. It's going to be 2 hours of the weekend show because Al is taking a little break this week. So in the second hour, we are going to replay some of the, I think, more important company updates that we recorded on this week because, look, there's a lot of news coming out of the resource sector, even as I know we're going through another painful correction. Companies are still doing stuff, and if you want to be buying stocks, you need to be doing your research right now. Chad and I are kicking off the show with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of the big money players within this sector. Jayant, we have to start with the precious metals. In full disclosure, we are recording this about halfway through the trading day on Thursday, and it's not a good day for precious metals investors. Gold is down about $40, sitting right around that $17.50 level. Silver is down over a dollar today, sitting right in that $22 level. Overall, Jayant, look, the sector, especially when it comes to the gold and silver prices, it's been relatively boring. Gold was stuck pretty much at that $1,800 level for about 3 months. Now we're getting a bit more of a sell-off, but still, the sector's been slow. The mood is pretty depressed, and stocks continue to get hit. What's your takeaway from, broadly, the weakness in the precious metal sector that we continue to see?
Well, Corey, I am euphoric right now, and I have always been euphoric when the price, when the stock prices fall so much. Gold has fallen by 2 or 3%. It's no big deal for me. I think gold does that all the time, but stock prices have fallen by, some of the prices that I'm looking at have fallen by 10-15%. And that clearly is a place where I want to invest because that's where the easiest and best money is made. And I am always amused that people are fearful in this market when I'm actually euphoric, when you can actually do quite well by just not letting emotions take over your rational thinking.
Well, Jayant, when you see these kind of pressure squeezes and a lot of the sentiment gets so negative, but then some of these stocks, like we've even seen major sell off by high single digits or double digits. Do you like to scale into positions during that time frame? Do you like to wait to see that the dust settles first? You know, how do you approach doing some bottom fishing in these kind of scenarios?
I don't think you can predict when the dust will settle because in retrospect, you can always think that you knew what was going to happen. But if you could actually see into the future, you would have corrected your actions based on the future. So a lot of analysis that people try to do about how market behaves is looking at curves in retrospect, but really you can't predict the future. When I see value, I basically want to go into it. Now, I do know that today is a depressed market, so all my buy prices have been reduced by 10% or so. And I know that one company did get filled this morning, and more will get filled as the market comes to a close today. So, yes, I do want to exploit the bearishness in the market, but the market can become more bearish tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. I'm not going to wait for that. I'm just going to exploit the 10-15% extra upside that I can get by buying those stocks today.
Okay. Does sound like you're also lowering some of your purchase prices too, right? So maybe even waiting for a little bit more weakness. Overall, though, Jayant, look, the sector is pretty unloved right now. I wasn't able to go down to any of these recent conferences, whether it's Beaver Creek or Denver Gold due to some of the restrictions, but you were there. What can you tell us about your takeaways from those conferences and what the attendance was like, what the mood was like?
I am still in Colorado Springs, where Denver Gold Show ended yesterday afternoon, and it was pretty dead, actually. In most of the speeches, I saw no more than, let's say, 10 people in the auditorium. Usually, those halls are packed with standing-only space. So that much is the change that I have seen in Denver Gold Show. On the last day, yesterday afternoon, I probably saw maybe 5 to 10 people in totality walking around, the same 5 to 10 people. So there was not much of an audience at Denver Gold Show, and so was the case in Beaver Creek, although I think Beaver Creek had more people who are risk takers and who wanted to make sure they attended the conference. But still, in the auditoriums of Beaver Creek Show, you would see often a completely empty hall. They would still give the speech because those speeches were telecast live, I think, and they were recorded. But it was quite strange for speakers to be welcoming people when there was no one in the audience.
I bet that would be strange. Now, Giant, we have seen this environment before. I remember going to some of these conferences when it was dead. And unfortunately, that didn't necessarily mark the bottom because we had a prolonged period of sideways, boring trading in the sector. When do you start to get a little bit more worried that maybe the market won't bounce back as fast and maybe it will be unloved for a prolonged period of time?
Well, I actually don't worry. I make sure that I have at least 1 or 2 years worth of cash with me. And as long as the market is undervalued from my perspective, I go to sleep in peace. I have almost never worried about fall in share prices except when I was in using margin. I have stopped using margin to buy stocks for now many years, and that has actually made it possible to get a good sleep and not worry when the stock prices fall. And I have actually almost always been able to benefit from these shocks that we see in the market. In fact, I can sometimes use up my cash and, you know, buy something today and sell the same thing for a 30 or 40% profit within the next week or two. So these are the kinds of markets that I like to benefit from rather than to lose in.
So, Giant, what are some of the names? Can you share some of the companies that you chatted with that you think are interesting?
Let's look at a company called Moneta Gold. It's trading at $1.80. It's, I think, lowest in the last several months. And the funny thing is that they recently acquired Garrison Project from O3 Mining, and now they will be able to explore in between the two projects, and they will be able to use economies of scale. Now, the market seems to have not given them any benefit for the economies of scale that has come up and the extra resources that they will be able to look for within the boundaries of these two projects. So this is the benefit that I think the market has missed out on. This will be one of the biggest gold projects in Canada. And my first pass thinking is that at 175 million market capitalization and looking at the old PEA and what might be the new PEA tells me that this company might have a nice, decent upside. Similarly, there's another company called Artemis Gold. The ticker is ARTG. It's trading at $5.50 Canadian. They have a huge market capitalization, $800 million. So maybe there is a less limited upside left in that company. But again, if you look closely at what they have achieved with just basic redrawing of the design of the project, they were able to generate massive amount of value in the market in a mere few days after they had acquired the project. Hundreds of millions of dollar worth of new value in market capitalization terms. But I think there's still upside left. There's another company that I met called Prime Mining. Again, all these companies I have never really looked at in any details in the past, but I'm going to spend more time. But my first pass impression has been extremely good.
All right, Giant, I appreciate those insights and the company that you just shared with us. We're going to have you back on next segment, Giant. We're going to switch our focus a little bit more to uranium. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Giant Bhandari.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Giant Bhandari. Now, Giant, time to focus on uranium. because that has been the standout, outperforming resource sector, especially when it comes to the stocks. That's been the one real, in a way, surprising aspect, is that now, finally, the uranium price is starting to play catch-up, but these stocks have been on a run for months now. Look, there's a number of different stories that we can get to within uranium that is causing this rise in the uranium price, but what's your takeaway from the run that we have seen in what is a relatively small resource sector, uranium?
Well, I don't get excited about this feeding frenzy when this happens. My tendency is to sell and get out of that market. But in fact, I have never been too excited about the uranium sector. There is a lot of greed and lust in the market, which makes people think that they can understand and foresee the future of uranium market better than what buyers can see. Now, if buyers were buying uranium for $30, $35 a pound, which is actually a very small part of their total cost structure, and if they knew that they would be facing deficit of uranium in the future, why would they not have gone into long-term contracts early enough? And the reason long-term contracts haven't really gone up much and they weren't too high in the past was because buyers themselves probably see enough uranium coming their way at a reasonably good price. So these retail investors, people who don't really understand the nitty-gritty of the uranium sector, think that they can foresee the future better, but they are mostly driven not by mathematical skills or proper analysis, but mostly driven by greed and lust. And I want to stay away from market where greed is dominating the sector.
Well, Giant, there's a lot of people that have opined on this, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's people that bring on the uranium mining company CEOs and or even people that are some of the people that actually follow like the UEX and like the people that do the pricing, which is very opaque in the uranium industry. And they said that there's a disconnect in the utility companies thinking that there was a lot more supply versus the reality that there really wasn't as much supply and it's hard to bring these uranium mines back online. So it looks like the narrative has been a lot of people fed these miners to higher levels and bid them up because they believe that that contracting cycle is about to start and that it would need to be in the 50s or 60s for these companies to actually incentivize new production. So some of this is in people's minds front running that eventuality that will, and on top of that, all the buying that there's been in the spot market mopping that up. So what do you think of that narrative that maybe the utility companies are a little bit behind the eight ball and they're going to have to come to the table with the mining companies and that's what's behind some of this move?
Oh, that is entirely possible, Shad, but I talk with a lot of traders in commodities and they often tell me that they, when they do contracts, they actually, when they buy and sell as mediators, they do future selling when they buy something at spot right away. They don't wait for any time at all. So when the real buyers, the real suppliers, and the real traders can't predict the price, who am I as an outsider in the uranium buying and selling supply chain to think that I know better than the buyers and suppliers? Now, I'm not saying that uranium prices won't go up. Maybe it can go up to $100 a pound, and it did go up to 150 pounds or something a decade back, which in real time terms is now worth maybe about $200 a pound. So yes, uranium price can go up to a lot higher, and it is entirely possible for uranium using companies to pay a lot more money because cost of uranium is a minor part of their demand cost structure. But at the same time, you must remember that a lot of uranium projects have been stalled and they can come online very quickly if the price, sustained pricing, long-term spot prices actually do go up. But you must also remember that a lot of countries are actually closing down their uranium projects. If you look at how much uranium production has grown over the last few decades, you realize that in terms of electricity generation, uranium production of uranium-based production of electricity has mostly been stagnant. It has fallen for virtually every country as a percentage of their total electricity production. So all this euphoria about uranium is ill-founded. People don't really understand that, yes, uranium electricity-producing plants are cheap to run, but they are extremely, extremely, extremely expensive to build, and the liabilities associated with running a uranium plant are either huge or negated by regulations, which are both anti-free market things, and people don't really understand that fully. But again, when you are greedy, you ignore what your greed does not like.
Yeah, you raised some good points there, Giant. And I think it's still about 20% of the U.S. electric grid and about 15% of the global grid. But you bring up a good point that if the price does rise, let's say it gets to 50 or 60, which is the incentive price to bring on new production, and that production comes online, where's the upside from there? So one other question, though. A lot of people focus on the spot market, and really that's not what moves the dial for the producers. It's the contracts. But in the spot market, the big news of the last really month has been the Sprott Uranium Trust taking over the Uranium Participation Corp. And they've been going in and buying with both hands in the spot market, mopping up that, you know, supply that a lot of hedge funds would use or that some uranium buyers would use to then sell to utilities. Do you think that that continued bid from the Sprott Trust and even from some of the non-producing companies, about a half dozen have also bought in the open markets, do you think that that will continue to have any effect, or is that more of a flash in the pan news of the day?
Well, I think I would consider that to be a flash in the pan news of the day. Remember, those people who are supposed to be buyers have to keep buying if their stock prices trade at a premium to what they own within their portfolio. So, this is the problem with division of labor. This is what they do, and they want to think, and they want to make other people think that the future is euphoric for uranium. But at the same time, when the time comes for them to sell uranium in the market, remember, market will have that extra supply, and that will be a problem for the price of uranium. So, you know, this can turn around and hurt you in the future. I don't go by what these, Sprott Uranium or UPC does. A lot of people I have seen, they don't really, they are not users of uranium, and they are very likely to make a mistake in their projections, particularly when their job requires them to expect higher price of uranium. So their incentive is to believe that uranium prices will go up. I don't want to play that game. I just want to play safe so that I can stay in the market in the long run.
All right. Hey, Giant, I see eye to eye with you in terms of a lot of this run in uranium. You know what? The stocks have run really nicely, and there has been some big buyers step into the market, but you're right. Those buyers need to stay in the market, and they need to keep on buying if we want price to keep on going. So we'll see where it all goes, but at least it has been a good sector for resource investors, because a lot of other sectors, we keep on hearing just how on sale those stocks are. Uranium stocks, at least it's been a different story. It's more fun in a bull market when stocks are going up, right? Giant, we're going to wrap it up here. It's always great chatting with you, buddy. Thank you for taking the first two segments of this weekend show. We'll chat again in another few weeks. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Corey and Chad.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Thank you. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Top U.S. general says he takes personal responsibility for a deadly mistake in Afghanistan. Here's more from USA Radio's Dan Naraki.
The Pentagon said Friday that a drone strike undertaken in Kabul back in August mistakenly killed 10 innocent people, including 7 children. Head of U.S. Central Command called the strike a tragic mistake. Congressman Michael Wallace believes that the kind of faulty intelligence that led to that strike will continue without any U.S. presence in the country.
Our local allies are being hunted down, and the terrorists now are much, much better armed.
U.S. Capitol Police say they are prepared for today's protest near Capitol Hill, as about 700 people are expected to protest arrests made at the January Capitol attack. It wasn't a big one by Southern Cal standards, but the L.A. area was shaken by a magnitude 4.4 quake a few hours ago. And this is USA Radio News. Another strange twist in the story of a missing 22-year-old Florida woman who disappeared while on a cross-country vehicle trip with her fiancé. Ryan Laundrie's been called a person of interest in her disappearance, and now he's disappeared as well, according to police in Northport, Florida. They say they went to his house last night. He wasn't there. There was an angry crowd outside calling for him to come out, but his family says he wasn't there, and they haven't seen him since Tuesday.
President Biden policies have one thing in common around the world, total chaos.
That's the Republican Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, drawing comparisons between the U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan and some of the situations at the southern border recently. For instance, Patrick's pointing to 13,000 Haitian men, women, and children currently living under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas, on sheer hope they're going to get processed and get into the United States. And this is USA Radio News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing our focus on the precious metals sector. In this segment, we are replaying a daily editorial that we posted on Tuesday. This is with Christopher Aaron. He runs iGold Advisors, also the senior editor for Gold Eagle. We're going to dive into some of the technicals that Christopher is watching for gold and silver, and also balance that out with U.S. market commentary and how the precious metals could relate to the U.S. equity markets. I hope you all enjoy this interview. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, Shad and I are chatting again with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisors and senior editor for GoldEagle.com. Now, one other thing I want Christopher just to quickly talk about here is new service that he is offering for subscribers. It is called the Elite Private Placement. So this is where Christopher goes out there, negotiates his own deals with exploration and general metals companies, and then shares those with some of the people he is working with. Christopher, give us a little bit more insights on why you started up Elite Private Placements and some more details of what people can learn about the service, please.
Thank you so much, Corey, for having me back on the show. And we will be talking about gold and silver and the Dow to gold ratio here coming up for a moment. But I appreciate the chance to just speak for 1 second about what I'm doing personally and what I'm offering. It's been my experience over the last few years that when investing in mining companies, the upside that you can achieve is incredibly enhanced when you're able to invest by these private placements. And the reason is, if you're going to buy the same amount of shares, let's say on the open market or by private placement, you almost always get free warrants with your purchase by private placement. And warrants are like options, so they give you the right but not the obligation to buy more shares in the future in the same company. And what that effectively does is, if the company does well, you get to nearly double your upside in the company. So when you're right on a 10 bagger, let's say, it becomes a 20 bagger. And if you're wrong, let's say the company moves sideways or declines by a little bit, there's no additional cost to you compared to if you were buying in the open market. So this is what I'm doing personally. We go out, we negotiate with the companies. We have a great group of investors already working with us. And the more investors that we have coming together, I can basically walk in to the meetings with these mining companies and say, hey, you know, we're raising $1 million or $2 million for you. We're not going to accept a half warrant at 2 years. We want a full warrant good for 3 years, so we all profit more together.
Hey, fair enough. I do a lot of my investing through private placements, and you're right, using that warrant as extra leverage, it can help out, especially, well, it all depends on where the stock goes, but again, warrants always can help out. Let's get into what the charts are telling you then about the precious metals, starting with gold. Look, gold continues arguably to be in this downtrend. Gold's really been stuck around 1800 for about 2.5, almost 3 months now, and there is still that bearish, maybe short-term outlook and bullish longer-term outlook. 1675 continues to be a key number for investors to watch on the downside. What are you seeing within the charts?
Yeah, so gold has a little bit of an uninspiring chart here over the short term. To reemphasize, we're talking short term. It's important for investors to remember that there are strategies to make money in any market, including a market that maybe is just going to move sideways for the next 6, 12, or 18 months, which is exactly what I see happening to gold. It looks to me like gold is going to be caught in a what could be quite a giant range trade between, let's say, the 1600s and the low 1900s. This could extend well into 2022, for example. You know, I am looking at a number of rising trends that will exert influence as to buying pressure, but those groups of buyers that have been coming in at higher and higher intervals, those groups will not be emerging until a little bit later in time, you know. So you're talking about a slightly uninspiring gold chart. I don't think gold is going to collapse. I don't see it going back to $1,000. But I also think it needs to really bide its time here for perhaps the next 6 to 12 months or so, plus or minus $150 on either side of where we are right now.
Well, Christopher, just to help folks that may not be familiar with your work get up to speed on how you view the charts, when you're looking at these longer-term trends, are you looking at just previous peaks and troughs of like lateral support? Are you looking at moving averages, trend lines? What are some of the things that go into how you view the longer-term charts? And are you looking at these on the weekly or monthly charts, or do you look for turns on the daily? Just maybe share some of how you approach the markets with folks.
Yeah, my strategy, Shad, has been refined through trial and error over the last 20 years that I've been following the financial markets. And in my career, first of all, I'm going to say as a caveat, the bottom line is use whatever works. If another system works better for you or anyone out there listening, you use what works. You use whatever advantage you can get in the markets to stack the odds in your favor. What I have learned for myself that allows me to stack the odds in my favor is I actually don't use moving averages at all. I don't use any of the what you would call derivative types of technical indicators, such as RSI, MACD, Bollinger Bands. all of those indicators are derivatives of the price. They are calculated based on the underlying price. So what I focus on basically exclusively is a study of simply the price itself. And I look for trends in the price. I look for horizontal support and resistance. What are those pivot zones? You know, you just mentioned this zone around 1675. We've had three clear bounces at 1675 over the last year. And so that is obviously a very important zone of support here. But as far as what I focus on mostly, it's really, there was a famous technician that once said price and price alone. That's kind of what I boil it down to.
Now, Christopher, one thing that I really want you to outline here, because we talked off mic about your technical outlook for quite a while, is fine. If, let's say, gold grinds lower for 6 or even 18 months, you think, though, that the way that it relates to the Dow, so the Dow-gold ratio, that could actually decline as well. Take us through your outlook here, please.
Yeah, this is totally huge, Corey. So what we're talking about here, the Dow-to-gold ratio, remember, when this ratio is rising, when we're talking about a higher number, we are talking about the Dow or general stocks gaining versus gold. And when the number is lower, when it's falling, that is good for gold. That means that gold is gaining versus the Dow. And so when we're talking right now here on the late at night on the 13th of September, we're talking about the Dow to gold ratio just below 20. There is a very clear downward trend that started back in the year, this is hard to imagine, but back in the year 1999. And that ratio was roughly 44 ounces of gold to buy one share in the Dow. Again, back in 1999.
All right, everyone. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but we chatted with Christopher for a good another 10 minutes and got even more into a few of these key topics for the metals. So to hear that full interview, you can visit our website, either click on the weekend show posting, listen to segment 3, or you can go back to Tuesday, listen to that posting. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Mark Chandler, taking a step back from the metals and looking at broad market moves and some of the key events coming up next.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I will include in the weekend show posting, at least a link to that website. Now, we are going to cover with Mark a bit more of a general conversation, recapping some of the data that we saw this week and some of the more interesting moves in metals and even in the markets. Plus, look ahead to next week, which is a big week for central banks around the world because there are about a dozen meetings that are coming up next week. Mark, let's start off with this week and kind of the key data point that seemed to move markets, or at least move metals, was the retail sales number. Came in on Thursday, came in strong. As we know, everybody looks at this data, and really they use this data to estimate or predict what the Fed might do. Give us your little summary, please, of this retail sales number, how it came in, and how you think the market and traders took it.
Yeah, no, thanks. I think that the first thing is really the context. We had a soft employment report on September 3rd, and then to begin this past week, we had a soft CPI. Market, some people began getting cold feet about what the Fed was going to do coming up, thinking that maybe they wouldn't taper after all. And then we had that monster retail sales report. You know, most people, most economists, were looking for the fourth month's decline. And instead, it comes in much stronger than expected. Even when you exclude, like, we knew that auto sales were weak, but when those were excluded as well, they had a very strong number. And then there's a control function, which is the market economists, to calculate GDP, will get data from the retail sales report, but they will exclude, because they'll pick it up elsewhere, auto sales, gasoline sales, food services, building materials. That core measure also exploded. And so what this means is that despite the softest unemployment, despite the higher inflation numbers we're getting, American consumer is alive and well. And it helped perhaps by return to school season, perhaps also the child tax credit checks began going out. These things helped retail sales, but also shot up U.S. interest rates and uplift the dollar. I think the market took away from the retail sales report that come next week, the Federal Reserve is going to take another step towards clarifying its tapering before the end of the year. That is, the Federal Reserve reduces bond buying before the end of the year.
Well, Mark, another question I had for you is, you know, we've seen some weaker markets recently, even before these data points came out on Thursday. Do you think any of this has to do with that seasonality factor where September is usually one of the months that the general market struggles? There's also the sell Rosh Hashanah, buy Yom Kippur trade, and then we also have the quad witching options expiration today. So there's just so many seasonal factors as well as all those data points. Do you think that some of that just speaks to the market weakness we've seen the last 2 weeks? And could that change going into next week where we have most of that data behind us, except all eyes are now on the Fed?
Yeah, I think you made a good point. You know, I see a lot of commentary talking about the last time the U.S. stock market pulled back by 5%, or how long it's been since we had a 10% pullback. And so I think the market was cautious. I think we've seen some profit-taking, people taking some chips off the table. I do think that this is like a corrective phase, and I think that people are looking to buy the dip, but the dip might not be over yet. I'm thinking maybe along the same lines you are, that we ahead of the Federal Reserve, it could be a hawkish statement. Why like play ahead of that? But I wonder if a lot of it would be priced in, so that by the time we get to the FOMC meeting in the middle of next week, the hawkishness has been discounted, and now the market then would be vulnerable to like a sell the rumor on the stocks, buy the fact. So that's what I'm looking to do. Is I have some names of companies that I think high value names pulling back here, and I'll look to try to put some new money to work towards the middle of next week.
Hey, so one thing to note, the S&P has pulled back pretty much right to that 50-day moving average, and that 50-day moving average has been very strong support moving back about 6 months here. So let's see how it reacts to that. Now, Mark, you said there's a couple stocks that are on your radar that have pulled back that you think could be a good investment opportunity. Are these in a general sector that you think could be first to rebound, or are you going to be looking at any individual sectors within the markets to give you some foresight into if these markets are going to bounce or if they're going to break down further?
Yeah, so what I'm looking at is, you know, part of the reason I think we are pulling back is to the economic rationale, and why we've seen some soft economic data, including some data that's not tracked by the government, but still the market follows it, like open table reservations, air traffic, clearance through the TSA in the U.S. And so we have seen a pullback. And so I'm looking at consumer discretionary sectors, and I'm also looking at CapEx, because I think that's how companies are going to make up for this higher wage costs, higher input costs, is increased productivity. And increased productivity often means more capital investment.
That's an interesting take on it. Well, Mark, off mic, you had mentioned to us that moving into next week, there's also quite a few other central banks that have data points coming out besides the Fed. Maybe walk our audience through just all the different news blips that we're going to see next week.
So maybe sticking with the major countries, we've got the Bank of Japan is going to be meeting right around the same time as the Fed. There's nothing really the Bank of Japan can do. I mean, their balance sheet, the central bank's balance sheet, is about 200% of GDP. Debt levels in Japan are very high. I'm sorry, the balance sheet is a bit more than 100% of GDP, not 200%. But there's not much they can do. There's a leadership election, a leadership contest for the LVP, and it looks like what we should be expecting from Japan is not so much on monetary policy, but a large fiscal stimulus package. By large, I mean they'll say it's about 30 trillion yen, which is about $270 billion. So fiscal stimulus over monetary stimulus in Japan. I'd say an interesting central bank that's not on a lot of people's radar screens is Norway. And Norway is an interesting country because their interest rate before the pandemic was at 1.5%. They did the right thing. They slashed to zero for the pandemic. But now, even though the economy is not going gangbusters, it has begun expanding again. And Norway is prudent. They say, why should we keep interest rates at zero when it's not an emergency anymore? We still might not be as strong as we were, but it's not an emergency. So they are likely to be the first high-income country to raise interest rates. So Norway's important because, you know, we all know that the central banks eased aggressively, and that it's like a whole curve, like a wave, is turning higher. And it's where different countries are in that sequence. Norway is just like the queen bee in the swarm. Not that other countries will follow it because Norway is doing it, but more because this is just a trend that's taking place. After Norway, another central bank that meets next week will be interesting is the Bank of England. They've been sounding hawkish lately, and they had a high CPI report. And what the market has done is they're pricing in 2 rate hikes for next year. So the Bank of England is not going to do anything the coming week, partly because they have an income support program for labor called a deferral system, where the government subsidizes wages for people who can't get to the office because of COVID. And this program ends later this month. So it's really until this program ends, the Bank of England can't have a clean view on the sort of state of the labor market. I wonder, too, if maybe the market might be getting a little bit ahead of itself and expecting 2 rate hikes. You know, usually these major central banks, they move in 25 basis points at a time. But what happened during the crisis, the Bank of England's last move was 15 basis points. And so that brought them down to 10 basis points as their base rate. So the market's pricing in a 15 basis point hike and then a 25 basis point hike beginning roughly around the middle of next year. I can't imagine the Bank of England signaling that this is not aggressive enough, partly because not just that monetary policy can't get too far ahead of itself, but remember what's happening is that there's another lever that governments are playing, and that's fiscal policy. And next month, the UK will announce its budget, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer is going to be announcing an austere budget. That is fiscal tightness at the same time as monetary tightness. It could be problematic. So I think that one hike next year seems prudent, and that the Bank of England will caution about getting too far, like leaning too much ahead of our skis.
All right, Mark, great chatting with you as always, buddy. There was actually a fair bit to talk about this week and some weakness broadly in a wide range of markets. Let's see how it all plays out next week as all attention shifts to central banks around the world and the Fed. Mark, thanks as always for taking time with us. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And everybody who tuned in, thank you for listening to this first hour. The second hour is going to be a replay of a lot of the important company updates that we recorded from this week, as Al is taking a little break this week. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more.
This message is brought to you by the American Waterworks Association and your local water provider.